Welcome to It's About Florida, a weekly discussion program tackling the key issues and topics of interest to our state. I'm Tramell Gomes. Following the release of unusually low FCAT writing scores, some say the state's standardized test isn't working and it's time to stop wasting taxpayer money on it. About 75% of students who took the test failed it, prompting state officials to start grading the test on a curve. More emphasis on grammar, punctuation, and spelling is actually part of the reason students did poorly. To discuss what these results will mean moving forward in Florida's education system is the Executive Director for the Foundation for Florida's Future, Patricia Levesque, and the President of the United Teachers of Dade, Karen Aronowitz. Today we're looking at the FCAT and standardized testing and seeing where we are now and what the state needs to do to get students where they need to be. Let's go ahead and introduce yourself. We have Karen Aronowitz. You're with the United Teachers of Dade. Tell us about your organization and what you do.
I'm Karen Aronowitz, President of United Teachers of Dade. We represent the teachers and education support professionals in our district, and we also feel that we're an important voice for our students and for public education.
All right, and right here in the studio, we have Patricia Levesque. You're with the Foundation for Florida's Future. What is that organization?
We're an education policy organization that stays focused on making sure the laws of the state of Florida are supportive of our teachers and our students in order to make us have a great world-class education system in the state.
To help us get an idea of where you stand on the issue, tell us what you think about the FCAT. Let's start with you, Karen Aronowitz.
I feel that we ought to be calling for a moratorium on the FCAT because there have been too many failures with the test, the collection of data, and the changing of the goals of the FCAT often in the middle of one school year. So it becomes an impossibility to ever attain the kind of success we're talking about because the students and teachers end up not knowing what the goal is.
All right, and we're talking about the FCAT, the Florida Comprehensive Assessment Test. Is it working, in your opinion, Patricia Levesque?
Well, I am one of those few moms that probably is supportive of the FCAT in the state. The FCAT is nothing but a test. And even when I was in school 20-something years ago, we had tests. Before Governor Childs was governor, Florida used to administer 8 different tests across the state, and there was no way really to get a clear picture of how our students and our schools were doing. So he developed the FCAT, a test that does nothing but measure the standards that our teachers developed and said that we should be teaching kids in each grade level. So I'm supportive of measurement. I have a 4-year-old son and a 20-month-old daughter. And I take them to regular doctor's appointments to be measured to see if they are on track for good development. And that's simply what the FCAT is. It's an annual measure to see how our students and our schools are doing to master standards that we feel are important for our kids to succeed in the future. So I'm supportive of the FCAT.
Now, talking about this measurement, recently we saw that the measurement standards were increased and it was pushed to a higher level. Now, recently, we saw that really students aren't ready from looking at the results of the writing portion of the FCAT, where so many failed. So what do you say after seeing those results?
Well, first of all, I say that change is good when change is for the better. And for 20 or 30 years, since 1992, I guess it's been a very long time, we've been administering a writing test in the state. And that test was only graded based upon whether our students could write a main idea, have 3 supporting arguments, and have a conclusion. But skills like grammar, punctuation, capitalization, spelling, those things were not a part of how we graded our essays. And the State Board of Education last summer felt that we needed a change for the better. So those things like grammar and punctuation are part of how the essays are going to be graded this year. And with that change, yes, we saw scores drop. And what the state board did was say, you know what, we're going to keep the higher standard of making sure we're preparing our kids through grammar and punctuation and vocabulary. But we're going to take a pause on how high we set the benchmark this year to give our schools and our teachers and our students time to transition to that new higher standard. And I think that's a good thing.
Karen Aronowitz, what do you think of this change that went about in the recent results that we saw from the writing portion of the FCAT?
Well, I do understand and appreciate the importance of elements of writing that should be present in students' writing. But Ms. Levesque herself said that they put an emphasis on something in the middle of the decision, and then when the scores tanked, then they said, uh-oh, we've moved too fast. And the FCAT is not helping us to educate students appropriately. It is really used as a tool almost against the students, because what I think many people don't understand is who's included in the grading of these students. So, for example, we know that it takes English language learners, and Miami-Dade County has perhaps the highest number of students who are learning English at this point. We know that to be academically proficient, it takes 3 to 5 years for a student to be academically proficient in writing. Yet we are including students who are learning English at 1 and 2 years to be included in the scores. So when you talk about, you know, what you're talking about, it's who's included in the grading, and are the students that are included, are they appropriate to be part of the score? The other thing is that the federal government itself determines that 3 is a passing score, that you are producing grade-level work. So putting the score at 3 is not inappropriate. That means that students are performing at grade level. A 4 was done because Florida wanted not to have money spent, and they eliminated 2 readers, and consequently, a passing score used to be a 3.5, and they couldn't have a 0.5 because that meant that there was a difference between 2 readers' rubric understanding of the essay, so they moved it up. So a lot of those things are not what the public is aware of, but they just say, okay, we have to have these standards. I'm all for standards, and I certainly want our students to write well. Mm-hmm. And I want to say one more thing. You might say, well, this is one test, and that's the only test that's given. But in districts themselves, the hysteria around FCAT testing, which doesn't occur at the end of the year, which would demonstrate what was learned over the course of the year. It occurs in March. Sometimes it's been quite early. So it's not judging the work of a year.
Let me jump in here. You said something early on that triggered. You said like the FCAT is a tool against these students. That's a very strong statement. What I'm hearing from Ms. Levesque is that it's to measure the progress of students. Do you believe in measuring where the students are able to get to from where they were, like the progress of students? Do you believe that there should be a standard to see how the system is working?
Yes, I believe in accountability, and I certainly, as a teacher, knew that students needed to be have mastery of the material. So, you know, testing has always been part of education. But to say that there's a standard, and then to say, well, we're increasing the standard, and then to say, well, we're going to increase the standard some more, and we're going to include students who could not meet the standard, that is not appropriate. If we really want to help students, then we need to have a pretest at the beginning of the year to see where students are. We know that when we have grade level, we want to cover a certain amount of material during that year, but we want to measure where the students start, and then we want to work on having them have achievement at the end. But the constant testing... I understand about testing. You know, people will say, well, you don't go on a diet and then weigh yourself a year later to see if you've lost weight. At the same time, you don't go on a diet and then weigh yourself in 10 minutes.
All right. Let's give Patricia a chance to respond here. What do you have to say about all of that?
So Tramiel Misser-Honowitz talked about a lot of things, and I want to make sure that your audience and the parents and teachers who are listening get some of the information correctly. And so one of the things that she said was that the standards for writing changed in the middle of the year, and I want to clarify that that's not true. The standards that were going to help our kids more by making sure punctuation and grammar were part of the writing score, that those standards were adopted last July, well before the start of the school year. What I think the state needed to do a better job of, and that districts needed to do a better job of, is making sure teachers knew about the increases and the higher requirements that were going to be required at the start of the school year. And so I do think it's a good thing that the state hit pause to give teachers and schools another year to better prepare on punctuation and grammar and those types of things. She made another statement about how the federal government has set our passing scores on the test, and that's just not true. Every state in the country sets their own passing scores. Florida's writing test is scored on levels 1 through 6. Students could be any one of those 6 levels. This past school year, that was set at a level 4. 2 years prior to that, it was a 3.5, and several years before that, it was a 3.0. So over several years, the state has slowly increased the writing score requirements because our kids were doing so well. You know, when 90% of the kids in the state are meeting your passing score, it may be time to raise the score, and that's what the state did. So this year, when we raised what was required on the test, the punctuation and grammar, it was a good thing to hit reset and go back and let's start at a 3 again, and let's give our kids more time and our teachers more time to meet the new standards. I agree with her completely about the need for accuracy in the scoring, and that is why Florida does have 2 scorers for every student's writing exam. 2 different people read every single essay, and if their scores don't identically match, there's a third reader brought in. So there is a process to make sure that our student scores are accurately measured, and I want parents to know that and teachers so that they have confidence, because Florida is actually one of the few states that has such a detailed process for scoring essays that we pay for 2 scorers with bachelor's degrees, most of them related in English language arts, journalism, communications fields, to grade the scores. She also made a comment about the time of the year of the test. I am completely in agreement. I think the ideal world would be that we could give the test at the very end of the year, the last 2 weeks of the school year, so that teachers will have more time to cover the subject matter before the test. Florida law says that the FCAT cannot be given before April 15th. Now, that's for reading and for math. But for writing, the tests are given in February or early March because we have 2 scorers that have to read every single essay. So it takes a little bit of time to get those things graded. But I'm completely supportive. Mm-hmm. We should move the test later in the year. I think the good thing to know is, where is Florida headed? And Florida is headed toward Common Core state standards. This is a set of standards that 46 states have gotten together to develop in reading, English language arts, and math. These 46 states have looked at what are the top performing countries in the world requiring of their kids per grade, and how does America try to match those standards? Because when our kids graduate from school nowadays, they're not competing for jobs with kids from Georgia and Alabama and Mississippi. They're competing for jobs with kids from Hong Kong and Singapore and Korea. So we've got to prepare our kids to be world class, and that's why we're moving to Common Core state standards.
Let's go back to where we are now. I know you have a lot to jump in, Ms. Aronowitz. I'm sure we're going to get to all of it. But let's get to the fundamental portion of this, where we are. We're seeing that these recent results, all of these students failed. Why do you think that happened, Ms. Aronowitz?
I think that very often they're given nonsensical prompts. And we can talk about grammar and punctuation all we want, and I'd really be happy to have a conversation on how children learn and how language changes. So, you know, our children use technology, and they are brought up with that technology. And I think that their most common form of communication is texting. So we might see changes in language, and when we talk about spelling, spelling gets changed over time, and in part, this is probably a driver of some of that change. But that is not how parents and, you know, the state looks at it. I'm glad to hear Ms. Levesque talk about Common Core standards. I'm on the American Federation of Teachers Pre-K through 12 Program and Policy Council, and we are in support of Common Core standards. And what I said earlier was that we should have a moratorium on FCAT and not continue to waste taxpayers' money on a test that's going to be replaced in 2 years and that has not proven to help education.
You're listening to It's About Florida. I'm Tramell Gomes, chatting with the president of the United Teachers of Dade, Karen Aronowitz, and Foundation for Florida's Futures executive director, Patricia Levesque.
All right, now back to my question, like why did so many of these students fail this test, Ms. Levesque?
I think the answer is fairly simple, and I wouldn't blame it on texting or technology as the reason why our kids didn't do well. I think what you measure, you care about. And so teachers do focus on what is going to be measured on the test. And so if teachers believe the thing that is going to be measured is structure, main argument, supporting arguments, conclusion, that those are the skills that they focus more time on. And there was not enough communication probably with teachers that this year grammar, punctuation, vocabulary, spelling are going to be part of the grade. And I believe if teachers had really known that more clearly, they would have spent more time focusing on grammar, punctuation, spelling, vocabulary, those kind of things, which are important skills. And so I think it was just really simple. Teachers probably weren't well informed on the scoring is going to change to capture a lot more really important writing skills, and so that they would spend more time focusing on those things as they were preparing kids for writing. I do want to correct one thing where she said that, you know, the FCAT is changing, which it is, which is a good thing. We're going to be moving to Common Core state tests. There are 26 states. Florida is part of a consortium where we're all going to be developing common tests that measure the Common Core state standards. So in a couple of years, the FCAT will be replaced, and it'll be changed, and I think it's a great thing. But the FCAT has done a really great job in the last several years. You know, in 1998, it wasn't that long ago, Florida students were third from the bottom in the country, third from the bottom on performance in reading and in math. And now our students are above the national average, not just above the national average, but in the top 10.
Let's look at the action of the State Board of Education. For them to relax and start now grading on a curve, what signal does that send?
It's important to meet students where they are, especially when 3 has been determined to be a passing grade for grade level. And it is also important that English language learners, how they're counted now in scoring, has an impact on different districts that is disproportionate with other districts depending on the number of students that are counted. So when we talk about data, for example, the research shows that it takes more, 3 to 7 years to gain academic proficiency. And consequently, it also depends on what age you start learning English. If you're learning English as a youngster, then you're going to move forward more quickly because your formal education is at a different level. But if you come to this country and you're older and you're 14, then it's going to take you a while to gain the kind of academic skills we're talking about. And that's included in the scoring. And that's what's very damaging, not only for students, but for grading schools when you have a disparity in who is counted in that grade.
We hear a lot about, and I come across this from teachers who are concerned that they're essentially teaching to the test. That's the mode that it's that we're placed in when we have these tests like the FCAT and all of that stuff. Mr. Levesque, what do you say to that concern that all they're doing, they're making sure that they're teaching to make sure the kids pass that test and nothing else?
Well, I think, again, it's really important to know what does the test measure? And the test measures the standards. So in third grade, if the math standards are that students need to know how to add, subtract, multiply, divide, and do simple fractions, then what the FCAT measures in third grade math is addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, and simple fractions. So I think it's a good thing for the teachers to teach all of those standards because the teacher doesn't know which standards are measured in a given year on the test so that our students are well prepared. You know, I talked to some teachers. We have more than 700 teachers, Florida teachers, every year who review every single FCAT question before it gets on the test and to make sure they're accurate and they're grade level and they're aligned to standards and they're not biased and all of those types of things. And I asked some of the teachers, why do some of your fellow teachers have concerns about the test? And I thought one of the answers that the teacher gave me was fantastic. She happened to be a science teacher. And she said, you know, before the test, teachers could spend time on their favorite pet portions of the subject. So she said in science, you could have two different science teachers, and one science teacher down the hall would spend 2 months on the rainforest and not very much time on condensation or precipitation or these other topics. But another teacher down the hall who really loved condensation and precipitation would do experiments on those things and would spend a lot of time on it and would neglect the instruction in the rainforest. And what the standards and the test ensure are that all teachers are covering all of the standards because, again, they don't know which ones are going to be measured on a given year. So it makes sure all children are getting all of the standards covered so they have a great high-quality education. Now, what has been the flaw in the past is we had too many standards. So teachers couldn't teach 84 standards in one given year, but we're moving to new standards this year called Next Generation Sunshine State Standards, and we're moving to Common Core State Standards 3 years from now. So in most subjects, teachers are only going to have 20 or 30 standards that they need to spend a lot more time focusing on. I think that's going to be much better for our students, and teachers are going to appreciate that more time to cover the topics more deeply.
Does the FCAT help to give a good picture of a teacher's effectiveness?
I think that it's only one measure. The test is only one measure, and that's why in Florida, their 50% of a teacher's evaluation is still going to be based on a principal observation or a peer teacher's review or other local assessments, things like that. But in the past, how students learned has not been a part at all of how teachers were evaluated. So I think there's good to have balance. I think it's one thing that President Obama made as one of his top priorities in the country is to make sure states were tying student performance to how they evaluated teachers.
Karen Aronowitz, how should parents interpret this year's results from the FCAT?
With a grain of salt, first off, I hope that their child has done well. But the kind of hysteria that's being promoted in schools based on FCAT should not be the focus of that child's education.
Talk about this hysteria. What do you mean by the hysteria that's created about the FCAT?
What happens is that the school year is in test mode all the time up until the FCAT. So there are interim assessments, there are three-week accountability tests. Very often, the entire school closes down in order to administer these tests. So the time for learning has really been shortened. And then because teachers' evaluations are tied to scores, and they are particularly tied to FCAT scores, when 80% of teachers are not in an FCAT-tested area, we find that that doesn't help us in evaluating who is an effective teacher. The other important thing is that the students are given a great deal of scripted curriculum. And I don't care what format you put it on, it's very often bubble in answers. So if you want students to write well, then you have to allow them time to write. And that is not how education is being delivered because of the hysteria of this test. And I say we hit the pause button, not just for this year, but for a period until we develop what will come with Common Core standards and take a step back for the good of the kids in the system.
So what is to be done in this time here? The state is backtracking a little, making sure that we're grading on a curve to make sure students are able to keep up. What does this say to our students, though? What message are we getting out of this? Are students really not prepared? Patricia Levesque, and then I'd like to hear from Karen Horonowitz.
So, Termal, I think what would have been terrible is if the state board said, oh my goodness, we're now, what we need to do is back away from grammar and punctuation and spelling and vocabulary. But they did not. So the state did not retreat from saying those skills are really important for our kids. They're still going to make sure that Florida moves in a better direction on the writing test, which is making sure grammar and punctuation count. All they did was hit pause on moving to the higher level of what the score was. I don't think it's any different than a teacher in the classroom who decides to completely change her final exam and make it much harder, make it an open book test. I always found open book tests were really hard. If an individual teacher says, I'm going to really raise the stakes this year and do something different, and at the end of the year, the vast majority of her kids didn't get it or didn't pass her self-developed test, I don't think it's a bad thing for that teacher to say, I'm going to keep going in the direction that I want to go in with this harder, more demanding test, but maybe I didn't do enough to prepare these kids, so I'm not going to hold it against the child this year. I'm going to keep working on how I'm doing the instruction.
All right, and Karen Horonowitz, what do you think about that?
I think that if we were properly educating children by giving them enough time to actually do authentic writing in our classrooms and not the kind of scripted hysterical test prep that we offer very often, then you'll see an improvement in scores, not because we have done something that takes away the magic of teaching, but because it actually makes teaching become the art it is.
All right. And Patricia Levesque, anything else you'd like to add as we wrap up here?
I do agree. We're moving toward a better proposal in the state of Florida. We're moving to better standards. Our test is changing. The FCAT is changing this year, which is a good thing. It's going to continue to change to when we get to Common Core state standards. And our teachers and our schools, our parents should know we have done a great job in this state, moving from third from the bottom just a few short years ago to being in the top 10. That's a big accomplishment. And that means that our kids are better prepared to be successful, whether they're going to go on to college or go into a job straight out of high school. I think we're doing a great job. We've made the most improvements of any other state in the whole country. And we just need to keep going in the right direction for our kids.
All right. Well, thank you both for joining me here on It's About Florida. I really appreciate your time. And thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you to our guests, Karen Horonowitz with the United Teachers of Day and Patricia Levesque with the Foundation for Florida's Future. You've been listening to It's About Florida, a production of WFSU-FM. Our senior producer is Regan McCarthy with technical assistance provided by Taylor Cox. Please join us again next week for more discussions about the issues impacting our state. I'm Tremel Gomes.